Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's podcast episode. This week, I'll be talking to you about why this medicine is needed right now in this time. And when I talk about this medicine, I mean any medicine or any practice that brings us back to this state of wholeness, this state of remembering our divinity. And it's just that, it's a remembering. It's not a becoming. We already are. In yoga, we know that we are already whole and complete just as we are. It's this unlearning of all of these subjections that society projects upon us, right? So it's this untethering, this unconditioning to remember our divine essence, to come back to this whole state of you're already healed. You don't need to do more healing. But we do these practices to remember what we already are. And if you've been in this work of either yoga, either ritual, or energy work, then you know that those moments of clarity, they don't feel like a new revelation. You don't feel like it's not new territory. It's this sense, at least for me, it's this sense of remembering, of, oh, I've felt this before. And this has been the truth all along. I've just been in this illusion, this maya, what we call illusion in Sanskrit. This word maya is this veil of illusion that we have as humans, as we grow and breathe and live in this society. And so this medicine is to remember that wholeness, to remember that oneness and that healed identity and that divinity that lives within us. So that's what the medicine is for. But why is it needed now more than ever, right? Why? And there are several reasons. So if we think of a little baby, shall we say, right? And if we think of a little baby who is well loved and looked after and safe and secure, I seem to get this impression when I spend time with little babies that they have this really subtle knowing and this really content spirit within them. You know, there is not a lot of grasping if this child is living in a secure attachment environment. There's not a lot of grasping other than to get their needs met, right? But there is this felt sense that they are content as they are. And often I look at little baby's face, and in their eyes I feel like they have this knowing of how to be completely whole and integrated and just be as they are, because there are no social projections on them as of yet. And I accredit this kind of wholesomeness, is really what it is, to the fact that from utero until about the age of one, our first chakra is developing. And that first chakra is all about safety, security, and it's also number one, right? And it is this connection to earth, connection to soul. We don't have the duality of soul and spirit yet. We're purely soul. And there's this wholeness and this kind of like the earth being a sphere. There's this wholeness of being so close to Mother Earth in that sense. And there's this wholeness of not having our energy split or spread out. Our energy is centered in that Muladhara chakra, that root chakra. And so that's when our roots are forming. Of course, if there's any sort of trauma or neglect or even just simple things like societal ways of raising children that create an anxious or a avoidant attachment style for that child, that's usually the year that that will be created, because that year is really creating roots. What are these earthly roots that I have? What is the, is my environment safe? Is my environment secure? And we'll talk about the first chakra in another episode more in depth, but that really foundational sense of I am here and I am safe is so important in remembering our wholeness, in remembering our oneness with the divine. If there was a lot of turbulence or chaos in the first year of life, then that can create an unsteady foundation, right? A different felt sense of wholeness, right? So that understanding of how wholeness feels for us. How was that first year of life? And is there a foundational communication with Source? Or is there a foundational acceptance that you are whole and complete as you are? Or is your memory one of insecurity and not feeling safe? And so that's our first foundational doorway, shall I say, doorway into our healing process. And so this medicine is needed right now, because this has been quite the year in terms of our first chakra, our safety, our security, our physical well-being. Those are all first chakra elements, and those all challenge our felt sense of wholeness, our felt sense of groundedness, of rootedness, of connection to Source, connection to soul. So in our second chakra, when that starts to develop, that's when we start to enter the waters of change. That's when we start to enter the land of duality, the land of creativity, of movement and fluidity, right? So first, this first chakra is foundational. Then when we get to the second chakra, we, for the first time, understand this duality. Moon, sun, yin, yang, feminine, masculine. These really primal light and dark, right? There's this duality. There are two textures to life, and then this whole grayscale in between. This is when we see a little two-year-old learning that they can say no, that there's a yes and there's a no. And where is the boundary between that? And is it black and white, or are there gray zones, right? And so this duality, if we have this strong container, this strong foundation, this duality can be like riding a wave, right? It can be really an interesting intersection of play. And yet if our foundation is not solid, then duality can be really scary. It can be really terrifying, you know, life or death. And so we've seen how duality, instead of creating this beautiful play, right? This beautiful relationship. It's all about relation. Instead of creating that beautifully blended relationship between both of these polarities, we have started dividing over the polarities, right? We've started ostracizing and using this duality and these polarities to create division and separation between one another. And we see this so much in the political world, and we also see this so much in just this current world of the pandemic. It's not currently safe to be around some of our loved ones, right? And to be around one another in this connection. So this is why this medicine is needed now, to really connect back to our whole essence so that we begin to integrate rather than separate, so that we come together through this difficult time. We come together in compassion instead of dividing in fear. So yeah, the collective first chakra has taken its toll this year. And so this medicine is needed right now for that reason. It's also needed in this time because the isolation that COVID has presented, the isolation that our world of duality and our world of right and wrong has created, has isolated many people, right? It's created this isolation, and what comes from isolation is mental illness, addiction, all of these kind of underbellies of an unhealthy and unbalanced society. And so that's a big statement, right? That's a big undertaking, that mental illness is so prevalent right now and only rising because of this isolation. And because of my personal experience with mental illness, and especially in this year, I have re-experienced it to a high degree. And so I've had to kick up all my practices to higher notches, or more time spent within, to be able to regulate and come back to this equanimous state. I don't think the word equanimous is a word, but it is now. So that's the mission here. That's why this medicine is so juicy for this time, so that we come together through compassion rather than separate from fear. So when we talk about mental illness in terms of our foundational energetic system, it's this transition period from when we were in our solely root chakra existence, and when we started to develop our sacral chakra, our second chakra, Svadhisthana. And we've talked a little bit about how it's the waters of change, and there's creativity and there's fluidity. What that also means is that it's the chakra that predominantly houses emotions. And if we look at our societal context around emotions, it's started to expand and started to really grow with the times, and has grown leaps and bounds from even when I was a child. And yet if we look back at kind of child development and how we take care of little children, there is this emotional regulation period where the child learns no, and the child learns of emotions and starts to have these big feelings, these big emotions that are confusing, right? And then we add on the societal pressures and the duality of life, right? And it becomes quite challenging for a child to cope sometimes. And for the longest time, the way we dealt with children having tantrums or emotions was to isolate them, right? Was to put them in a separate room, or to separate them from the collective and then not have conversation around it, which creates this kind of separation instead of bringing them back in and having an integration session to make sure everyone knows that it's okay to have these emotions. So what this kind of separation and isolation has created is a lot of children growing up with a confused sacral chakra. And this sacral chakra, as we talked about, is where we house duality. And so whenever the gray areas of duality show up and that triggers an emotion, a child who is isolated or not taught how to handle their emotions will be really overwhelmed and will possibly isolate themselves when they're having those big emotions because they were taught and they learned that it was not safe to feel in a social context. It was not safe to have emotions and not okay to experience that. So what that has created is a society in which we don't feel safe to feel and to talk about emotions and talk about how we're really doing, right? And what this creates is isolation, and what isolation creates can be mental illness in any of its forms or addiction in terms of trying to numb those feelings and cope with them in the only way that sometimes we learn how, right? More fear and anger and arguments and, you know, feeding into the fear part of the duality. I believe that this is a really great opportunity to use the medicine of ritual, of yoga, of energy work, of just connecting in with the divine, however that is for you. Right now I'm sitting by a stream in the sun, and this is connecting me directly to source. My sit bones are on the earth, feeling into that vibration coming up from the earth, right? And that connects me back to wholeness. That connects me back to my divine individual self. So this medicine is needed to create a more compassionate society so that we can really embrace one another with compassionate arms and really investigate, how are you really? How can I be there for you? What is the most compassionate response that I can have for you? And this once again goes back to, it's not a fixing. The society doesn't need more fixing, and that's what keeps creating this division of trying to fix and fix and fix. First, we need to feel safe all together. And then once we're all together and we're safe, we feel secure and safe to bring up ideas, then we can share and we can problem solve and we can find a solution. But that won't happen until we feel safe. And the first step towards ensuring others know they're safe is to hold space. And this holding space is sitting there in compassion and really hearing the other person, not wanting to convince them, change their minds, or give them advice. Those are all really can come from such a good place in our hearts, because we really do want to help one another, right? And yet, first we must establish this foundation of safety, and that starts, for those with mental health or those with addiction, that starts with being there for them and really hearing them, listening to them, and just holding space, giving them that space to feel what they're feeling, and not making that wrong or not making that something to fix, just allowing that to be as is and being there for them no matter what. doesn't mean having to agree with them, or it doesn't mean endorsing their behavior. It just means being a safe place to land. And once we can all kind of become a safe place to land for one another, that's when we can collectively, as a healthy collective society, start to really collaborate in some solutions, right? But it starts with that safety. And it starts with that security and that compassionate being there. Okay. So if you're wondering, okay, that all sounds good, but how do I do that? And the answer to that is to find ways to reconnect within, to remember your wholeness, whether it's going for a walk in nature, sitting your sit bones on the earth and feeling the sun on your face, infusing your intention into your water or your tea, if it's having a meditation, it's doing a movement practice, it's doing a breath practice, if it's having some energy work done or doing some energy work with yourself through vibration. All of these things really connect us back to source. And then from that place, all we have to do is be so rooted in love and so rooted in compassion that we simply hold the space for others to be safe with. Okay, thank you for tuning in today and listening. I would love to hear your thoughts and your questions. And this is a conversation. You know, I am continuously learning, continuously seeking, and from day to day, my teachings shift because I shift in my understanding, right? So taking what I say with a dose of knowing I'm human. And I'm always open to the conversation and the different perspectives to zoom out and understand from a wider perspective, right? I have my personal past, my personal biases, and my understanding, and you have yours. And that is a great learning opportunity to understand. And whether we can be compassionate in the moment or not does not make us better than one another. It does not create any superiority. It's continuously a learning curve of learning how to be with ourselves and how to be with one another. And if you have learned something that really works for you and that really holds space for safety and connection and integration, then I would love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts, and that can expand my perspective, my scope of teaching. So my email is below, all of the links are below, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. The wild in me honors the wilderness within you. Namaste.